Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the Taylor Hell Roaring Project just north of Whitefish, unemployment numbers in the state, and Bozeman's housing plan. It's Wednesday, November 20th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. U.S. Senator John Tester plans to hold a town hall Friday in Kalispell. Tester says he will update the public on efforts to protect the Badger 2 medicine, as well as other issues like affordable housing. This is Tester's eighth in-person town hall this year. Republicans, Senator Steve Daines and Congressman Greg Gianforte, often hold so-called teletown halls on the phone, saying this allows them to hear from more people in a large state. They've each held several so-called teletown halls this year and met with constituents on their 56 counties tours. Tester will speak to the public noon Friday at Flathead Valley Community College. The Flathead National Forest officially approved the Taylor Hell Roaring Project just north of Whitefish Monday. The project will include nearly 2,000 acres of logging, mechanical thinning, prescribed fire treatments, and the construction of 28 miles of new trails. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
The Taylor Hell Roaring Project has been in the works for years and was initially introduced under the old Flathead National Forest Management Plan, which was revised late last year. The project was rescinded after some scoping requirements under the old plan prevented it from moving forward. It was reintroduced under the new forest plan. Tally Lake District Ranger Bill Mulholland says the Forest Service found no significant impacts under its environmental assessment. The agency, however, did receive comments concerning the impacts the new trails would have on grizzlies.
And so we're going to do our best to locate those trails in areas that are more conducive to seeing bears and having visual qualities to it that you can see where you're going.
The project would connect existing trails near Whitefish and Big Mountain to 28 miles of new trails for hiking and mountain biking. Swan View Coalition Chairman Keith Hammer contests that the new trails would have no impact.
So this fills in the blank between the trail system down in Whitefish and the trail system up on the mountain, and we're going, well, where's wildlife supposed to live in the middle of all this?
Hammer is also concerned that more high-speed activities like trail running and mountain biking will lead to more human-bear conflicts. Noah Bodman sits on the Flathead Area Mountain Bikers Board. The group is collaborating with the Forest Service on the project. Bodman says none of the trails would be in core grizzly habitat.
If you're going to say that there might be a grizzly bear somewhere around the trail, then that kind of prohibits any trails anywhere in western Montana, and I don't think that's a rational conclusion.
The Forest Service and stakeholder groups are still working out when and how trail construction will move forward. Some of the logging within the project could move forward by next summer. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A U.S. Senate committee yesterday advanced a bill that would mandate full funding of the Land and Water Conservation Fund at $900 million annually. LWCF uses tax revenue from offshore drilling to fund state and county projects, like maintenance at fishing access sites and other recreation areas. Montana Senator Steve Daines sits on the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee and is up for re-election in 2020. He said this bill follows permanent reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund earlier this year.
If we can't get the full funding, which is the goal, we need to, the backup measure here is to continue to push to get significant increases.
Daines and Democratic Senator John Tester co-sponsored the bill signed into law earlier this year, permanently authorizing LWCF. Both Montana senators are co-sponsoring the current bill mandating full funding at $900 million. Meanwhile, the Senate Appropriations Committee, which Daines also sits on, has earmarked $465 million for LWCF next year. The House Appropriations Committee has earmarked about $524 million. The full funding bill for LWCF passed out of committee at 13-7 and now heads to the full Senate. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will determine when it comes up for a vote. Montana's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate increased slightly to 3.4% in October. Governor Steve Bullock says 851 people joined the workforce last month due to wage growth and increased job opportunities. That's the largest monthly gain in the labor force since 2015. The U.S. unemployment rate also moved up 0.1 percentage points to 3.6%. Montana's total employment, which includes agricultural, payroll, and self-employed workers, showed a gain of 676 jobs in October. The Department of Labor and Industry says payroll employment accounted for 600 of those jobs. The number of unemployed people increased by 175. Bozeman's city commissioners approved a plan late Monday night that lays out strategies to tackle housing issues across a spectrum of income levels. Rachel Kramer reports.
By 11 p.m., the crowd of nearly 50 people in Bozeman City Hall had dwindled to 15. The remaining holdouts were waiting to see whether the commissioners would approve the draft Community Housing Action Plan.
Commissioner Cunningham.
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Mill.
Yes.
Commissioner Krause.
No.
Commissioner Palmer.
Aye.
Mayor Anders.
Aye. Motion passes 4-1.
Bozeman needs around 6,000 more housing units by 2025, and 60% of them need to be below market rate. That's according to a community needs assessment the city released earlier this year. The new action plan, which cost $45,000 and was partially grant funded, aims to address that and other housing needs in Bozeman with 17 strategies, some of which are already being implemented. They range from modifying zoning codes to partnering with developers to build homes on publicly owned land. For people like Kevin Thane, the commissioner's decision was a step in the right direction. Thane sits on the city's Affordable Housing Advisory Board and is part of the 22-person working group that spent hundreds of hours with consultants to develop the draft plan.
The Community Affordable Housing Action Plan being considered for adoption is a good plan if executed in a timely fashion. The bane of plans such as this one is time. The shelf time before it is acted upon, if indeed it is acted upon at all.
Jeff Krause, the only city commissioner who voted against the plan, said some of the strategies needed more testing and he expressed concern about funding. The city last week also fired its affordable housing manager, Lauren Olson, according to a Bozeman Daily Chronicle report. The city manager declined to say why, citing employee privacy rights. Commissioner Terry Cunningham asked Christine Walker, one of the consultants involved in the draft plan, how she viewed the city's current ability to implement the strategies in the next 5 years.
Well, your capacity just got less, and this timeline is based on previous capacity at the city.
The city is updating codes about accessory dwelling units as one tool to prevent urban sprawl and is creating a community land trust with partners. Commissioners will discuss the housing plan again in January. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.